Good afternoon. I'm Brad House. You're here with Bike Sport Radio. Bike Sport Radio featuring the sport of competitive cycling, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. This is killradio.org. The studio number is 213-252-0998. And today's show, we've got a lot of results coming up from the Junior State Criterium Championships, Masters State Road Race, Masters State Track Championships. And in the studio today, a special guest from Endurance Coaching, founder and coach Ken Snowden of Endurance Coaching. So we've got some action from the Velodrome. A lot of heavy hitters out there. We had a world champion, Bert Glennon. Listen to this.
There we go, Bert Glennon. Want to go? Whoa, he's moving. He is moving. He's definitely moving. Bert Glennon, look at him go. Number six, world champion, Australian. I bet you he's going to post the fastest 200-meter time. Check this out. Yeah. There we go. That's it. Woo-hoo! Yeah! 11:58, Bert Glennon. And he is a world champion, too. So looking to win the state track championships out here for the Masters.
That was the... time trials, you do seeding at the track. Bert Glennon is a world champion, turn 11.58. On June 6th, we had the Masters Road Race Championships out in Bakersfield. And a number of new champions in Southern California now include, in the Masters 30-plus, Shoair Saunances, John Gabriel. In the Masters 35, SC Velo's Joshua Webster. The Masters 40-plus Road Race State Champion, News Champion, California Pools Racing's James Stark. The Masters 45-plus Road Race New Champion, Amgen Giant Masters Keith Ketterer. In the Masters 50-plus, also going to Amgen Giant Masters, Malcolm Hill. Masters 55-plus, UC Cyclery's Cal Salak. And in the Masters 60-plus, a veteran cyclist winning the road race, Cycles Veloci's Kenny Fuller. The Women's Masters Road Race, new champions in the Women's 35-plus, Higher Cadence Manning's Bikes, Hillary Crowley. In the Women's 45-plus, road race winner, Synergy Cycles, Kirsten Darley. And in the Women's 55-plus, your winner from Team Simple Green, Linda Schenf. The following day in Bakersfield, the Elite Road Race Championships were held, and the elite categories are Elite Category Men's 1s and 2s, and that new state champion is SC Velo's Jeremiah Wiskovich. In the Elite Women's Category 1s, Kahala LaGrange, Melinda Weiner is your new state champion. Women's Cat 3, new champion, Colavita Vegas, Kelly Brooks. In the men's category 3, riding unattached, your new state champion, David Santos. For the men's category 4 road race, elite road race, new champion, Simply Fit Action Sports, Freddie Prado. And in the women's category 4 road race champion, Fast Fridays, Lisa Campbell. Now, we also had on June 13th the Junior Criterium State Championships, and a number of new junior champions. This was held out at the Ontario location, the Ontario Grand Prix, June 13th. In the junior women's 10 to 12, new state champion from Shoair Saunances, Rachel Cross. Junior men's 10 to 12, state champion SC Velo's Nicholas Castellano. In the junior women's state criterium championships, Cal Pacific Export Packers' Tara McCormick. The junior men's 13-14 criterium champ, Echelon, Santa Barbara's Dylan Schuler. The women's 15-16 ages, junior criterium champion, also Echelon, Santa Barbara's Summersby Jenkins. And in the men's 15-16, Major Motion Cycling's Corey Williams. Then we have the junior women's 17-18 criterium state champion, SC Velo's Ivy Crawford. In the men's 17-18, junior criterium state champion, Major Motions, C.J. Williams. All right, and we've got a number of other results also coming up at you from off-road racing. And let's go to some of the interviews that we had out there at the road race. Here is the men's 45-plus road race winner, Keith Ketterer. We got a chance to chat with him.
And we're here with a Masters 45-plus winner, Amgen Giants' Keith Ketterer. How'd it go for you out there? Obviously, it went well.
Yeah, it went really good. I mean, we just sat the first lap and let Synergy sort of do what they were going to do, and our tactic was not to chase anything they were doing until the second lap, and then we started countering that lap, and it worked out pretty good.
Right. It looked like Synergy did most of the initial attacks, and you guys were just kind of watching and following them and replying to them and keeping the pack together. Did you get in a break finally at the end? Or
I went across on the hill on the second lap up. I attacked. There was some jockeying going on. I got clear with a couple of guys, and then we went up the road with David Yeager, myself, Cosmos, and we went across, and then Thurlow joined us, and that's really what made the difference.
Nice. All
he
right.
Bridged.
A six-person sprint or five-person sprint at the end there?
It came down to just there was a lot of jockeying going on, and they were starting to play games, so I countered him about 4 or 5 minutes from here, and then Thurlow came across with David, and it was just us three, and then we just had to do what we did.
All right, good job with the race. New state champion, Masters 45, Keith Ketterer, Amgen Giant Masters. Thanks, Heath.
Thank you.
All right, congratulations, Keith Ketterer, and thanks for the interview there, Keith. All right, we've got full results if you want to go further placings on all the state championships at scnca.org. Again, that's scnca.org. For off-road racing, mountain bike racing, on May 31st, Team Big Bear held the Big Bear Shootout in the Pro Men's Cross Country, picking up third place from Mentone Matt Freeman in the Pro Men's Cross Country. Big Bear Shootout, Cross Country second place, Pro Men's going to Charles Jenkins with a time of 1:42.57. And the Pro Men's Cross Country winner at the Big Bear Shootout with a time of 1:38.38, John Noble from Bear Valley Bikes. The Big Bear Shootout Cross Country Women's Pro, third place from Hesperia, riding for Bear Valley Bikes, Carolyn Popovic. Picking up second place in the Pro Women's Cross Country at the Big Bear Shootout, Specialized's Allison Mann. And your winner from Pass Physical Therapy in the Pro Women's Cross Country, Joy Derrickson. Also on June 6th and 7th, the Santa Barbara Bike Festival took place, off-road racing in Ealings Park, Santa Barbara. The downhill men's winner was Jimmy Amaral. The women's downhill winner, Jana Wilcox. Then they held also the cross-country racing at the Santa Barbara Bike Festival, and the cross-country pro men, third place going to Kenda Tomac Hayes, Andy Schultz. Second place going to Oakley Cedes rider from Santa Barbara, Aaron Olson. And your winner in the Pro Men Cross Country, Sid Taberly. Sid Taberly riding for Show Air Specialized. He got a time of 1:44.39. The Cross Country Women Santa Barbara Bike Festival in third place, Show Air Specialized's Allison Mann. In second place, Kenda Tomac Hayes, Kathy Sherwin. And your winner, also riding for Kenda Tomac Hayes, Amanda Carey. The Santa Barbara Bike Festival also hosted Super D racing in the Super D Pro Men's category. Your winner with a time of 7:20.29 from Costa Mesa, Eric Bierman. The Super D Open Women's category, picking up second place from Long Beach, Vanessa Humick. And your winner from Redlands and Don's Bikes, Lisa Crow. All right, Master Cycle League, we've got some team competition coming up with our upcoming events. Currently, those standings are Synergy Cycles in sixth place with 6 points. In fifth place, Kahala Lagrange with 10 points. In fourth place, Ironfly Cycling with 23 points. Third place with 35 points, Eighth Wonder Helens. In second place with 37 points, Amgen Giant Masters, and your leader in the Masters Cycle League, Show Air Sonants, with 47 points overall, Masters Cycle League. All right, and the road race was a really great event out there in Bakersfield, and full results on that are at scnca.org. Now, we spent a lot of time at the track. The velodrome cycling is incredibly exciting to watch, and it's also fun to listen to. So we've got some recordings here from the Masters 35 to 44 points race in action. Let's check that out.
45 laps to go. Roger Rilling in the front in the Masters points race. Number 25 on Rilling's wheel. Christian Linden Smith. John Allen getting away now. John Allen with a nice big gap. Roger Rilling sitting in the front of the field. Big old gap. And John Allen opening the gap with 44 laps to go. Roger Rilling not leading the pack to the chase. Josh Horowitz in the front, not setting up a chase pace as well. And Allen's up to about a third of a lap now. Half a lap for John Allen. 43 laps to go. John Allen. Maybe Allen's going to take a lap on this field. Let's see. Roger Rilling says none of that, and he goes on the attack next. Roger Rilling. And now Horowitz shakes up chase. Horowitz. Nathan Loyal in the pink, and they're all strung over, not working together. So Roger Rilling, Josh Horowitz, another gap to Nate Loyal, and John Allen about to lap what's left of the field at 41 to go. We've got points coming up. Next lap, John Allen possibly getting points and possibly even getting 20 big points as he laps the field. Roger Rilling leading the chase group in second place, in third place right on his wheel. Liquid Cycling, Josh Horowitz. And there is Roger Rilling getting 5 points for Roger Rilling. Josh Horowitz right on his wheel. 3, 2, and 1. And 1 point going to rider number 25, Kristen Linden-Smith. That's at lap number 40. Halfway through this points race now. All right, here we go, our next sprint. We're going to have a bell coming up. We've got Josh Horowitz off the front with Kristen Linden-Smith. There is the bell. The rest of the field coming through. Horowitz going up high. Nate Loyal in the field. They're going for 2 and 1 in the field. And Linden Smith and Horowitz. Horowitz flying over Linden Smith in the outside of the turn. Josh Horowitz looking for those 5 points. And Christian Linden Smith trying to hold him off and can't. And Josh Horowitz gets 5. Number 25, Linden Smith gets 3. 30, I think that's Mike McMahon for 2. And Aaron Gadia for 1 point at 9 laps to go now. All right, here we go. At 21 laps to go, Josh Horowitz, Christian Linden Smith off the front, and the rest of the field right there for the next point sprint, Team Velocity. Aaron Gadia bolting out of the field. Going for that 3 points, 5 points for Linden Smith, 3 for Josh Horowitz, and Aaron Gadia picking up 2, and Team Velocity Mike McMahon picking up 1 at 20 laps to go. All right, right now we've got Nate Loyal up front up against Dan Reback at 2 laps to go.
All right, we're Nate moving Loyal, into Dan some Reback. Sounds from the match sprints.
In
this
the
is
quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals, Nate Loyal versus Dan Reback.
Loyal looking
over.
Got to
listen to this. This is like a cat and mouse game. They just kind of ride real slow and then one takes off.
As they stay up near the rail. Reback sneaking around underneath him a little bit. Look at this. Reback moves to the front now. One to go. Loyal caught not paying attention. He's got about 2 bike lengths on him now. Reback with 2 bike lengths, and Nate Loyal closes the gap on the backstretch. And look at this. Nate Loyal's going to keep going. I think he is. Nate Loyal tries to go over the back but can't. And Reback is going to hold him off as they come down the line. Loyal giving one last oomph and doesn't do it. Dan Reback will advance.
All right. Reback versus Loyal. We also had world champion Burt Glennon versus Mark Newman. Got that live here. Check that out.
This heat coming up. Burt Glennon versus Mark Newman, Ironfly. Newman drawing the pole position, and Glennon up top. He is a world champion, so we'll see what Newman has his work cut out for him here. This is the Masters match sprints, 45 to 49. Mark Newman, Ironfly on the pole. Bert Glennon up top. There's the whistle. Three laps to go. Newman taking a little early jump there, and Glennon, though, right there. Right, the first lap you must proceed at a minimum of walking pace. After that, I believe anything goes, including track stands and the whole bit, other than riding backwards on the track. Obviously, you can't do that. Newman still in the front at two laps to go in the blue and white Ironfly.
Yeah, and Newman and Glennon were just riding almost at a standstill out there.
They're approaching the finish line with one lap to go. Newman still up front, and look at this. Glennon goes all the way up to the rail. Newman caught down low. Glennon way up at the rail. Going to have a huge advantage of the embankment. And there he goes, down the embankment, and pops right back up over Newman. And there is the unbelievable speed of world champion Bert Glennon, showing why he's world champion there. Rolls away, picking up the win. And he advances over Mark Newman.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Glennon went all the way up to the rail, catching Newman down low in the pole position. Now, the banking of the velodrome is pretty steep, and you can get the advantage of the downhill if you go up real high. So world champ Glennon shot way up to the rail, and Newman stayed down low, and Glennon just dropped down, headed right for his back wheel, and right before hitting it, swerved up, went over Newman, dropped back to the pole, and said, "See ya, I'm out of here." So very exciting racing at the Velodrome. Check out LAVelodrome.org. We've got complete results. We've got the state championship Madison results in the Masters state championship track Madison, the 30-plus Madison. Winners are Christian Lindensmith and Mike McMahon. The Madison's a really incredible race to watch, too. It's very beautifully choreographed out there. You should see that someday, the Madison. Also, the Madison's in the Masters 45, the winning team went to John Walsh and Keith Ketterer, both riding for Amgen Giant Masters. Again, that's the Madison. More track results right here.
The Master State Track Championships results in the women's 65 to 69 match sprints. Your winner was Bonnie Woodbury. Women's 60 to 64 match sprints. Your winner was Allison Vaught. In the women's 70 to 74 match sprints, winner Patricia Baker. For the men, Masters 60 to 64 match sprints, your winner Andrew Mizeroff. In the men's 65 to 69 match sprints, winner Chuck Watson. Men's 70 to 74 match sprints, your winner was James Kloss. In the 50 to 54 men's match sprints, Kurt Sato, your winner. In the men's 55 to 59 match sprints, your new winner and state champion, Bill Ziegler. In the Masters men 45 to 49 match sprints, your winner is Richard Kim. The Masters 40 to 44 match sprints, your new winner, Antonio Zaldúa. The women's 35 to 39 match sprints winner, Dina Eaton. In the women's 45 to 49 match sprints winner, Cynthia Boyinger. And your winner in the 50 to 54 sprints, Melanie Peterson. Masters men 30 to 34 match sprints, your winner was Peter Maharaj. And in the Masters men 35 to 39, your match sprints winner, Dan Reebok. All right, the flying 500 meters. These are time trials, 500 meters. Your winner in the men's 65 to 69, John McQuaid. In the women's 60 to 64, your winner, Allison Vaught. In the men's 60 to 64, flying 500, Henry Shibata is your winner. The women's 55 to 59, 500 meters, Jeanette Fitzgerald. The men's 55 to 59, Bill Ziegler is your winner. In the women's 50 to 54, Lauren Jacobson. Men's 500 meters winner in the men's 50 to 54 is Kurt Sato. In the women's 45 to 49, 500 meter, your winner is CJ Boyinger. The Masters men 45 to 49, Kilo. We're now in the kilos. Your winner, Brent Kay, with a time of 113.27. In the women's 40 to 44, 500 meters, your women is Jane Coates. The men's 40 to 44, Kilo, your women is Aaron Gadia. The women's 35 to 39, winner Shane Ellis. In the men's 35 to 39 kilo, your winner is Dan Reback. Men's 30 to 34, your winner is Stuart Press in the kilo. Now, for the pursuits, the 3-kilometer pursuit from Liquid Cycling, your new state champion, Josh Horowitz. Also in the 3K pursuit, your new state champion in the men's 35 to 39 team velocities, John Allen. In the women's 2K pursuit, ages 35 to 39, your winner is Kara Vidaka. The women's 2K pursuit, 40 to 44, new state champion, Jane Coates. In the men's 3K pursuit, ages 40 to 44, your winner is Dan Vaught. In the women's 2K pursuit, your women winner in the 45 to 49 is Tara Unverzat. The men's 3K pursuit, ages 45 to 49, winner J. Kip Metzger. In the women's 50 to 54, 2K pursuit, your women's winner is Lenita Anthony. And in the men's 50 to 54, your 2K pursuit winner, Amgen Giant Masters, Keith Ketterer. The women's 2K pursuit, ages 55 to 59, Jeanette Fitzgerald is your winner. In the 2K pursuit for men's 55 to 59, Matt Bekica. Swami Cycling Club, your new winner. The women's 2K pursuit, ages 60 to 64, Patricia Riddle. The men's 60 to 64 2K pursuit, winner Andrew Miseroff. In the women's 65 to 69 pursuit, that's the 2K pursuit, your women is Bonnie Woodbury. In the 2K pursuit, for the men's 65 to 69, your winner from South Bay Wheelman, Chuck Watson. And your winner in the women's 70 to 74 2K pursuit, Patricia Baker. The men's 70 to 74 2K pursuit winner, Velo Avanti's James Kloss. Now to the points race, the Masters State Track Championships. Your points race winner in the men's 65 plus, picking up 11 points, South Bay Wheelman's Chuck Watson. In the men's 60 to 64 points race winner, picking up 10 points from Momentum Cycling, powered by Hawk Reilly, Andrew Mizoff. In the men's 55 to 59 points race, with 20 overall points, California Pools Racing, Eugene Poirena. The women's points race winner and new state champion in the women's 35 to 39, Momentum Cycling's Dina Eaton. The women's 45 to 49 points race winner, South Bay Wheelman's Tara Unverzat. And your women's points race state champion in the 50 to 54, Melanie Peterson. For the men's 40 to 44, from Team Velocity with a total points of 38, your winner, Kristen Lindensmith. In the men's 35 to 39 points race, your winner, John Allen. Masters men's 30 to 34 points race winner with 42 points, Liquid Cycling's Josh Horowitz. And in the men's 50 to 54 points race, with a total of 10 points, your new state champion and winner, Thomas Peterson. And in the men's 45 to 49 points race, with a total of 37 points, Adams Avenue Bicycles, James Kaiser. Congratulations to all our new Masters State Track Cycling Champions.
All right, yeah, tons of new state champions on the track. That's Velodrome Racing. You're here at Bike Sport Radio. I'm Brad House. Our phone number is 213-252-0998. Again, that's 213-252-0998. So we've got some more action. We had a chance to bring to you some more of the match sprints. Let's go to Sato versus Crane right now. Kurt Sato.
Coming up now, South Bay Wheelman's Kurt Sato and Don Crane, his opponent. Kurt Sato goes way back to collegiate. At least I remember him from collegiate racing. And the thing about Kurt Sato, he's always a feared sprinter. When we went and raced collegiate races, the talk of the town when he was there was everybody was whispering, oh, Sato's here, Kurt Sato's here, hey, Kurt Sato's here. Because he's got a devastating sprint. So let's see how he does here in this heat versus Don Crane. Here we go. Sato gets the pole position. Crane up top. Holders are ready at three laps on this heat. Kurt Sato, South Bay Wim, and Don Crane riding unattached. There's the whistle. Sato takes the pole. Now look at Sato. He doesn't even look forward. He looks back almost the whole race. And you can do that in a match sprint, because you can see these nice little lines on the velodrome. There's multicolored lines, the blue line, the red line, the black line. You just look at those lines, look back at your opponent, position yourself just right. Sato going up track a little bit. Crane going even farther up track now. Yeah, look at that. Sato taking him almost up to the rail there, too. Sato leaving the lower part open, though, for Crane to sneak down, and he does. Crane sneaks underneath, and look at that. Crane sneaks and takes the front, but this could be still to cause Sato's advantage, because Sato's getting the advantage of the win. One lap to go. Sato's getting the advantage of the draft. All right, and they're on the back stretch. Sato still in the back, and now Sato moves up high over the top of Crane. They're side by side in the turn. Crane and Sato side by side, wheel to wheel. This is going to be really close, and Al calls it Kurt Sato. Wow.
Yeah, very exciting racing at the Velodrome. Match sprinting, it's really something else. It's cat and mouse. And we had a really exciting points race in the 45 to 54. We're going to actually play highlights from pretty much most of the entire points race here. So you got to check this out, the 45 to 54. We had a rider, James Kaiser. He actually lapped the field, and a couple others lapped the field. Let's go to Boyinger versus Umverzock first in the sprints, and then on to the Masters points race next after Boyinger versus Umverzock.
C.J. Boyinger at the rail, Tara Umverzock in the pole. Unverzock going for an early attack. Look at that. Tara just full of energy. C.J. Boyinger having to reel her back in. They're going to have two to go in these match sprint finals. Unverzock looking over her shoulder now realizes that Boyinger's there. And she'll have one lap to go. C.J. Boyinger now in the perfect position, right on Unverzock's wheel. And there is the bell. Unverzock looking over his shoulder. Boyinger just floating behind her. C.J. Boyinger still behind her in the backstretch. Tara Unverzock. And Boyinger choosing to go around the long way, going around the turn. That's the farther way to go. C.J. Boyinger trying to come over the top, and she does it. C.J. Boyinger, you're new bronze medalist state championships.
right. If you'd like what we're doing here at Kill Radio, this is a listener-supported radio where we talk about bike racing from bike riders and what you need to race bikes. Donate to Kill Radio online at killradio.org, killradio.org. We're a nonprofit, and we rely on your donations to keep our radio station running here in our studios right here in Koreatown, Los Angeles, California. Donate to Kill Radio. Go to killradio.org. We can always use your help here at Kill Radio. Back to the Masters points race.
Here's our next sprint coming up. Jacob Metzger still holding them off. Johnny Walsh now off the front of the pack trying to reel in Metzger, but he's got too far to go. I think Metzger's going to hold it for 5 points.
So it will be 16.
Followed by 50. Todd Bosson, DeWalt in there for third, picking up 3 points in sprint number two. And here's our next lap. Phil Coates and James Kaisner off the front. At 50 laps to go, and Johnny Walsh chasing. Kaisner drops Phil Coates. He's going to pick up the 5 points. Phil Coates for three. There's Kaisner. There's Phil Coates. 5-3, and Johnny Walsh picks up 2 and 1 point going to Bike Religion number 36. 36 picking up 1 point. That's a Thomas Peterson. All right, here we are, the next sprint. Kaisner, James Kaisner off the front, Adams Avenue Bicycles going for the 5 points, and the rest of the pack, he's actually closing in on the field from behind with about a third of a lap, and there's the bell for the field being led by Johnny Walsh of Amgen Giant Masters, and rider number 36 trying to go over the top now. That's Thomas Peterson. Kaisner gets the 5, and the rest of the field going for 3, 2, and 1, and this is the midway point in the sprints for the Masters, 45 to 54, and Walsh gets the 3 points. Whoa, and pushing through. I think that was number 16. Looked like 16. Yes, it was. J. Kip Metzger. All right. There's our next sprint coming up. Kaisner still off the front at 30 laps to go. And the rest of the field going to get the bell now for the next point sprint. John Walsh leading the field, followed by Phil Coates. And there is Kaisner picking up the 5 points. Still off the front. He is so close, yet so far. And the rest of the field coming down for 3, 2, and 1 point. And who's going to get the 3 points? Phil Coates gets 3. Todd Bosson gets 2. Johnny Walsh hangs on for 1. Walsh may still be your points leader unless Kaisner has taken the lead perhaps now. Let's see. It is. James Kaisner has now taken the lead by being off the front for so long, and he's so close to lapping the field. He may very well still win this points race, but he's winning it the hard way. Solo. All right, so Adams Avenue Bicycles, James Kaisner has now lapped the field. So he's picked up another 20 points. That's 35 points.
Up from San Diego.
22 laps to go. There's our next sprint coming up right now, and I didn't want to call it, but Johnny Walsh had jumped from the back. He wants his lead back. Walsh wants his lead back from Kaisner, and he might get it. Picking up 5 points there. Let's see. Todd Bosson getting in there for 1.
All right, the Masters 45 to 54 points race. We got more.
Now, with a half a lap lead on the pack, at 17 laps to go. 14 laps to go. Ron Dash only a third of a lap down from lapping the field now. Let's see if he's going to make it. And now Adams Avenue working together, the two riders at the front there. James Kaisner and Alfred Wilson, his teammate, and Johnny Ron Dash. Looks like he's on his way to lapping the field at 13 to go. If he can bridge that final third of a lap right here at the points race. All right, there's the bell for the next point sprint. Ron Dash off the front gets the bell first. He's looking for 5 points here. The rest of the field will get the bell when they cross. And they're not really organizing a chase to try to reel Johnny Rondesh back in. There is the field bell. Phil Coates. Phil Coates now setting the pace in the front. And Rondesh comes in for 5 points. Phil Coates dropping back a little bit. Rondesh going to have his work cut out for him after this field sprint. Rondesh picked up five. And Phil Coates dropping back. 3 points for Phil Coates. Todd Bosson in there, I believe, for one as well. And there is Johnny Rondesh with still his two-thirds of a lap lead at 9 laps to go. 2 laps to go now. Can Johnny Rondesh hold his lead off the front? He's going to get the bell here, and there is Phil Coates, some of the damage from the pack off the back, and there's the bell for Johnny Rondesh. 1 lap to go, Rondesh and Walsh chasing hard. The rest of the field not quite there on Rondesh. Can he hold it? He's looking at Phil Coates up ahead, who's dropped off the back of the pack, and Johnny Walsh dropping back, not able to maintain the chase, and Johnny Rondesh, and there he is. Johnny Rondesh holds it. Team Hellens at the finals.
Yeah, really exciting finish there. Johnny Rondesh went on to take third overall in that points race. He didn't quite lap the field, but as we know from our early results, the men's 45 to 49 points race, since Kaiser had lapped the field, James Kaiser, Adams Avenue Bicycles, was the official points race winner in that race. Very exciting racing. So, Real Racers, we've got some chatting with Real Racers out here in the field. We actually checked out the South Bay Wheelman camp. They were camped out on the outskirts of the track. We talked with them.
All right, we're here at the South Bay Wheelman camp, where they're camped out here at the Masters State Track Championships on Bike Sport Radio. Got Dyro over there, and all the South Bay guys are all warming up together here. I'm here with Kurt Sato. Did you already post a 200 meter, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, how'd you do?
Did okay, not real good. It's a 12.26.
Okay, that's great. That's great. That's Masters, so we're at the Masters tracks, and they're going to seed you guys, and you'll do one-on-one, huh?
That's right.
You have no idea who you're up against yet, huh?
Never raced a person before.
All right. Should be fun. Okay, Brad House, Bike Sport Radio.
All right, and we got a chance to chat with the promoter, but before that, let's go to some more of our sprints. Now, Masters, actually this is a points race, Masters 45, no, I'm sorry, Masters, let's go to our Masters 50 plus. We had a chance to talk with Mark Spivey of the road race.
Okay, Masters State Road Race Championships here in Bakersfield. I'm here with Mark Spivey. Masters 50 plus, tell us about it. Questionable weather out here, huh?
Yeah, the first half of the race was very wet, and the group stayed together up to the climb. And a couple of guys got away, and then I chased them, and we stayed away until the descent, and then it was a peloton all the way to the finish, and it turned into a bunch sprint, and I think Malcolm Hill from Amgen won our age group, but still a good time.
All right, so you got your climbing legs on. You got away. It looks like you needed a little more climbing out there, and then you would have done much better, huh?
If we had done 2 laps, it would have suited me much better, absolutely.
Cool.
But it was still a great time out there, and I probably finished top 20, but it was just a bunch of sprint, and
right.
I couldn't really see where the finish
All right,
was.
That's good. You look like Perry Roubaix here with the mud on the bike. That's a fun time. All right, thanks, Mark. Good job with the race.
All right. Upcoming events. We've got some upcoming events
over there
now.
And all the South Bay guys are all warming up together here. I'm here with Kurt Sato. Did you already post a 200 meter,
on the radio?
Right?
Yes, I did.
I don't have the plan.
Did okay, not real good. It's 12.26.
Okay, that's great. That's great. That's Masters, so we're at the Masters tracks, and they're going to seed you guys, and you'll do one-on-one, huh?
That's right.
You have no idea who you're up against yet, huh?
Never.
All right, we've got some other things exciting. Junior Cycling World. It's it's a website put together now. Junior Cycling World. Check that out. We had a chance to talk to the founder of that.
JuniorCyclingWorld.com. It's a new website. I'm here with Tim Roach. Tell me a little bit about this website.
Well, you know, as you know, I've been coaching juniors for 25 years. It's always difficult to find junior information on the web. I mean, you can go on the internet and find the massive results from the Sydney, Australia local championships, or you can find anything any pro does anywhere in the world, but you can't find any junior results or junior information anywhere. So I decided to start my own website dedicated just to the juniors, and they can go on there. I've got videos of 14-year-olds racing the cobbles in Belgium. I've got the results and race reports from the current UCI Juniors World Cup that's going on in Germany right now, the Trofeo Carlsberg, which is a major, major junior race, 21 international teams competing in a four-day stage race. We've got daily results, pictures, and videos and everything. So it's nice. Just all kinds of interesting things for juniors. We'll have some parents' advice, some coaches' advice as we go along. But right now, it's just a bunch of videos and race reports. The kids can go on there, spend hours not doing their homework and learning everything about the world of junior bike racing.
Yeah, all right. JuniorCyclingWorld.com. That's fantastic. It's a great thing you're doing, Tim. I'm Brad House with Bikesport Radio.
All right. JuniorCyclingWorld.com. Be sure and check that out. All right, upcoming events we've got coming up on June 28th, the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, and this is part of the National Race Calendar. The National Race Calendar is where all the top teams come from all over the nation to compete, and that can be found out at mbgp.com, the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix. They've got Team Colavita already signed up, Team Type 1, that's a Type 1 diabetes, Team Type 1's already signed up, and it's always a great event. That's held in Manhattan Beach, June 28th, the Chevron Manhattan Beach Grand Prix, part of the National Race Calendar, mbgp.com. Don't miss that. The same weekend, we've got June 27th, Rim Nordic Super D. That's Super D is downhill mountain bike racing, June 27th at Rim Nordic, June 28th. Rim Nordic Cross Country Racing. That's a complete weekend up there by the Snow Valley area, Rim Nordic. Check out rimnordic.com. That's R-I-M-N-O-R-D-I-C, rimnordic.com. On July 12th, the Big Bear Shootout Cross Country takes place. Big Bear Shootout Cross Country Mountain Biking, July 12th. Visit teambigbear.com for all details on the Big Bear Shootout. And coming up on June 28th, also June 28th, for juniors only, this is a Get Ready for Nationals Omnium at the Velodrome. The LA Velodrome is going to host a juniors only Omnium for juniors to help prepare for national championships. That's June 28th, juniors only, Get Ready for Nationals Omnium. Visit lavelodrome.org for information on that. The Master Cycle League, as we spoke about earlier, continues on June 21st with the upcoming Bike Palace San Pedro Grand Prix, and this is round 5 of the Master Cycle League. Full details at that at backontrackproductions.com. There's a live rockabilly band. We've got free youth racing. Race winners jerseys will be awarded to all race winners. You can demo a Cannondale bike. Cannondale demo bikes are available on site. Hip-hop dancing and more at the Bike Palace San Pedro Grand Prix. Visit MastersCycleLeague.com or BackOnTrackProductions.com for the Bike Palace San Pedro Grand Prix. Also coming up on July 4th and 5th, the Central Coast Cycling Classic takes place, starting with the Camp San Luis Road Race on July 4th. And on July 5th, the next day, the Elite State Criterium Championships, hosted in downtown at the San Luis Obispo Downtown Criterium. Full details on that at sencalcycling.com. Again, that's C-E-N-C-A-L cycling.com. And all of these information races can information all these races can be found at scnca.org. Coming up on July 19th, the Ontario Grand Prix will take place. Details on that at pacificsunsetvelo.com. Again, that's the Ontario Grand Prix, July 19th. And also on July 18th and 19th, we've got Elite State Track Championships at the San Diego Velodrome. San Diego Velodrome for the 2009 Elite State Track Championships. The San Diego Velodrome also hosts weekly Friday night racing as well at the track in San Diego. Friday night racing and Elite State Track Championships. Full details on those may be located at sdvelodrome.com. Again, that's sdvelodrome.com. So once again, you're here with Bike Sport Radio. I'm Brad House, where we talk about bike racing, competitive cycling, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. And this is about our point where we merge into our featured guest today. Let's mic up Endurance Coaching's founder and coach, Ken Snowden. How you doing today, Ken?
Fantastic, yeah, Brad.
All right. Thanks for coming down here to the studio today.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, Kill Radio, Bike Sport Radio. And Ken is the founder of Endurance Coaching. So you got it started when, and what prompted you to start this?
Actually, contrary to a lot of businesses where you start with a business plan, you're very sophisticated when you start out. Mine wasn't like that at all. About 6 years ago, actually, racing bikes for years and years and years, and helping people at bike races and helping them just work with problems and provide a perspective on what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing and that kind of thing. One thing led to another, and people said, you're really good at this. Maybe you should turn this into a business. And so I didn't really think much of it. But as time went on, I kept doing that and kept doing that, and people kept saying the same thing. So I said, maybe I can get some business cards and think of this very seriously. So I did and printed up some business cards and started handing them out. And one thing led to another, and, pretty soon a website comes along, and we start getting more attention and more business that way, and we start branching out in other areas. So my background, of course, being in endurance sports for years and years, made it pretty easy in the running areas and in the cycling areas, and also triathlon, to kind of bring all those together as a good approach for endurance sports.
Cool. So free advice became paid-for advice as you went on.
Exactly.
And that's a good thing when people come to you and say that. That's nice. So what are like the basic steps that people would take when, let's say, a rider is riding his bike and he's been riding for a little while, or he or she, and they decide they want to try bike racing? What's some of the basic steps that they would start just to start to get into it?
Well, I think, as you said, they start with riding their bike first, and all of a sudden probably see a bike race, and the adrenaline starts to flow, and they say, that looks like something maybe I can do. And just to kind of look back over my experience and working with a lot of athletes, it's really one of those kind of things that I think I look much more to the safety factor involved and the risk factor involved, and look at the long haul of a cycling career and say, what should this person be doing from the outset to really protect themselves, to make it through so they can actually, have a successful career at it. And so basically, I really think that what I find myself doing, working with young people, this is, or novices, shouldn't say young, could be masters, people just say that they got a bike and they really want to get serious about it.
Yeah, we have people out there just getting started at age 50 these days.
50 years old, exactly right, sure. Yeah. So it's not a young person at all. But all those cases, I think, are similar, that I try to tone back the adrenaline a little bit and say, let's look at this thing for the long haul. Let's really start out to make sure you're sitting on your bike correctly, which, bike fitting is a very important feature in endurance coaching. And so we make sure they're dialed in correctly so that whatever they're producing in the way of power is going to be done very efficiently, and producing muscle memory in a proper position so it keeps them out of problems in the future.
Right, that's a great place to start, actually. If I might jump in here, Ken, the fit of the bike is very important, because this is an extension of your body. The machine is an extension of the body, and the machine has to be set up so that it fits your body and doesn't make your body do any unusual or inefficient or uncomfortable motions.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So bike fit's very important, and that's good that you do that.
Absolutely. That's a starting point, I think, and we make sure. And then working with a person, I think it's important that you build a base. And so we spend probably the first 90 days or 120 days working on a deep base. And what we do with a deep base is we get a person fit for the rigors of racing, which are going to be very intense. And most people, when I say we tool back the adrenaline, they don't realize how intense it's going to be. It's going to be very intense. And so to build a person, it takes, I found, 3 to 4 years to take a person to reach what might be the pinnacle or what they can do, or let's say to reach their maximum potential, which takes about 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. It's,
So I put that in perspective with a lot of people.
Does that have to do with the Olympics? Is that why they run the Olympics only once every
I don't
four
know.
Years?
I hadn't thought of that. Maybe it is. But
they
I,
do.
I
they, just, they run the Olympics like once every 4 years.
Every 4 years.
Could that be why, maybe, huh?
Maybe, but I think I looked at it in terms of just the data that I was observed of all the people I trained. The people would work and work. And finally, they relax and get into that fourth year, and they know within 5% basically what their full potential is going to be, I think, at that point. And so to give them a chance to get to that point, all these preliminary things, I think, need to be put in place correctly. And so we build a base of capillarity and mitochondria and muscle by putting people in a base-building program. And those are the kind of oxygen transport systems they're going to need for intense efforts, especially in road racing, criterium racing, and some of those other kind of things.
So when you say base, we're talking base mileage then, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, exactly. Okay. We believe in base mileage and keeping heart rates low and keeping wattage levels low. And power output's low until we build that kind of base that we can now go on to higher
right.
intensity.
So, as far as a new bike rider, let's say, okay, I'm new. Well, I'm not really new, but let's say I am, and I want to go out, and I'm going to go ride my bike, 350, 400 miles a week because I want to get ready to race. Is that a common mistake?
It is a common mistake. Once okay. again, here's this adrenaline because, I know a lot from my background in kinesiology and physiology, doing a lot of personal training with people. I'm in the gym a lot also in the off season, as well as working with other kind of potential clients. And so the body will embrace about a 10% increase of intensity without going into a shock. And so then what you have, if you stay within those 10% increases, you can just keep ratcheting up and ratcheting up over a longer sustained period of time. But if you try to go too quickly, the body goes into shock. It goes into maybe you have an injury which doesn't show up until a period of time. You have blood conditions. You have other conditions that kind of grow out of that. And so to avoid those kind of problems, we take those steps just gently and surely until a person is really strong and fit. And before we turn them loose into the racing, full-blown racing, we want to make sure that they're really fit and can withstand the intensity so that now they're masters of their own fate and not scrambling in a peloton to try to survive. And we know that's kind of where, bad decisions are made and people take risks they shouldn't take. And then, unfortunately, most of the crashes that bike racers are in are not their faults. It's somebody else's fault and you couldn't get out of the way.
Right.
And so, we want to keep them out of that carnage area and so they can move on to higher levels, with as little scar tissue as possible.
Right. All right. So are there any other common mistakes that you see some racers doing that prevents them from reaching their goals specifically?
Well, definitely. And I think as this carrying the same kind of approach over to letting the body really adapt and adjust over time, and we talked about 3 or 4 years, again, that seems long in some people's category, especially with adrenaline lacing, and they're saying, I've got to get out there. I've got to do it. And here's where the coach, hopefully a good coach, can kind of put the bit in your mouth a little bit and pull back and say, there's plenty of time. Let's do it right. Let's work on time trialing. Let's work on power. Let's work on internal strength so that, when it comes time to really fire the gun, and really go for it, then, it's all in the right place. But I think, once again, with seasoned racers and racers in general, I have found over time that overtraining is probably a bigger problem than undertraining.
Is that right? Yeah. Hey, I'm so tired. I'm just
exactly.
tired. Well, how many miles have you been riding? Yeah, and you ask them these questions or whatever.
Sure, exactly. And the miles are very intense, but it still is a carryover that I think we finally refuted in these latter years that no pain, no gain is not the way to go. Because I came from that era of no pain, no gain way back in the day, and right. No pain, no gain does not work. I mean, it really is not the way to continue to build and continue to grow. So the overtraining, I think, really now, there's nothing wrong with super intense efforts when it's time to do that. That's part of your program. But I think dialing that back and really tempering, once again, your enthusiasm to put in more miles in your buddy because he's out riding and you're not, that type thing, you need to really craft your own strategy and your own program with the help of a coach and some other people to really say, okay, that's fine. This is when I should be intensely working. This is when I should be resting or doing something that is complementing my riding, but not necessarily repetitively doing the same thing over and over again.
Right, right.
So we spend a lot of time doing that. And then it's amazing now, I find with my athletes, how much more energy they have, how much more energy, how much more power, and how much faster their growth really is and their progress really is because they really are healed up and ready to go,
Right, yeah. We're here at Bike Sport Radio. We're here in Southern California. We've got a lot of criterium racing that goes on during the season. Criteriums are very short and intense. They're usually held out on the streets. Yes, they're not as short as track races, but I see criteriums for the beginner levels, at least. Typically, they're 30 minutes, maybe, and that's pretty short.
35, so. Right. Fairly short, so it's all get it right now, go as hard as we can, which, again, is hard to get into a flow like that, depending on who you are, and certainly matches the person that has, as we've talked about before, a lot of fast twitch fiber that they can just sprint and go for it, you know, if they stay close to the front. So, you know, and the other people that don't have that are going to have to be working a lot harder. But, yeah, the variety of events, you know, being one-dimensional, if it's there, as you said, there are a tremendous number of criteriums, and seemingly exclusively because that seems to be, in a lot of cases, all there are. So you have to get it done, as you said, in 30 minutes, or it's just not going to happen. That adds a lot of intensity to the situation that doesn't necessarily produce a good result, you know.
Okay, right. So when someone comes to you first offhand, they're just getting introduced to bike racing, they're just finding out about coaching, they'll probably want to know, okay, where do we start? What's the first type of advice you give them? Or do you start asking them questions, I guess, on what they're
doing? I certainly do. That's a very good point. Good question, Brad. I think what I want to do is find out as much about that person as possible because
right. You're
really diagnosing where they are now, okay, and not necessarily where they want to be. As you know, you can't go forward until you know where you've been. And so, and prescribing, and all of our programs are individualized, so basically working really hand-in-hand with a person and being very labor-intensive is the nature of our practice. Because we just see results better that way than any other way. One size fits all doesn't work, and so you really have to break it down to working individually with that person. So people get a lot of endurance coaching's time, and that's great. We'd rather do it that way because, like I say, that's what really produces the result and gets them off on the right foot, you know.
Okay. So. The intensity of bicycle racing and the intensity of the competition and the training that you have to do you have any thoughts on health supplements, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, mm-hmm. anything like that?
I do. I think we spend a lot of time, especially working with people in the fitness area, that type thing. Like I said, we spend a lot of time in the gym as well and working with nutrition. I think, you have to have a metabolism that's really operating off the bike as well as on the bike. And so, yes, we do work with the nutrition products competitively. We have a set of products that we work with that maybe I shouldn't mention names here, but that basically we feel do a good job, for endurance sports.
We'll go to a commercial break when we mention names.
Yeah, good. But in terms of also nutrition off the bike, I mean, what I will do with individuals, yes, there's no question. At early stages, they have a horrible diet. We're going to get into what keeps their glycemic index low, so their metabolism is burning all the time and running high. And so basically now you're obviously getting rid of excess fat and excess, things you don't need.
Right.
But as we do that, like I say, at the same time, we're going to be putting back higher protein levels. So that now that muscle rehabilitation and healing is going to take place, right. Off the bike as well.
So you tear down a lot of you definitely tear down a lot of protein there. So
yes, you do, exactly. So we just spend some time on that. So we do get some problems worked out. It's amazing too, as we cover in the base area, we do a lot of the base training. The body becomes much more efficient, and as we start to oxidize it with this build of mitochondria and capillarity, as we talk about, it's amazing how things start to conform. We start burning more fat at those levels anyway, and everything starts to conform. Heart rates come down, and everything starts to blend into place. So
right.
Nothing like riding your bike, you know.
Your mitochondria, those are the little oxygen factories that burn oxygen. Do you want to maybe elaborate on that a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, and that's interesting because mitochondria is an energy storage cell in each muscle fiber. And people just have, unless you're really involved in a demand of some kind, a sport which demands that, you're only going to have a limited supply of those on hand. But they can be developed and be, increased. And so... and also capillarity around a fiber of a muscle, which is going to enable us to dump, lactic acid and all the byproducts of exercise and replace that with oxygen. That's going to happen a lot faster, as we build the capillarity process, too. And these can all be done, contrary to some people's I think maybe understanding or our belief is this can be done at lower heart rate levels and lower intensity levels. So some people feel when they go out to do a spin routine, let's say a spin at a lower heart rate, maybe it's an LSD, we call it long, slow distance.
Long, slow distance,
I'll make sure I prime what that means. But sometimes people think, what good is this doing? It's really doing a tremendous amount of good.
Fat burning, right?
Yes. The fat burn is occurring at that level, no question, as a fuel source, but there's also a tremendous increase in mitochondria, increase in storage cells and capillarity around the muscle fiber, even at the, like I say, those lower heart rate levels. So that's the kind of thing we want to build on, you know, as we really get into higher intensity of racing.
Yeah, somebody once told me, and maybe this is a little too technical, but your cells, your muscle cells and your tissues have a certain amount of mitochondria for your activity, and if you are training at a higher activity, you actually grow more mitochondria per cell.
That's exactly right.
You can actually process more and do more work.
Exactly.
And then when you lay off your activity, your body says, get rid of them. I don't need the mitochondria, and away they go.
It tends to go back some, but it never returns back to where it was. I think there is a permanent increase to a point, even though there's a dormancy there. Uh-huh. Over time, but you're right. The effectiveness of them, how they fire, how they kick in, how they engage,
cool.
Becomes less with less activity.
Yeah. How about let's say off season, Southern California? Well, you know, I don't know if we really have an off season here.
That's a problem. The problem. There are no off seasons.
Right. That could definitely burn out a rider. But most of the criteriums, road race track stuff, is through the summer, and by September, it pretty much ends. Is there something that you recommend the riders do in the off season to get ready for a successful next season?
Certainly do. I think a great question. Thanks for blending that in. Here's where we go to the gym, and I think we're cross training is very, very important. And I don't want to say that approach is limited to the gym, because there's other things to do, other things to complement what you were doing, but really back off and take the pressure. And back to this recovery and rest we discussed earlier, when you get to the end of the season, people say, well, after a week or so, they've got more energy than they had in 6 months. They say, well, I'm rested, I'm ready to go again. No, you're not. I mean, really, you should get off the bike. If you've had an intense season of 30 to 35 races or more, something like that, you should get off the bike for a month at least. And really just heal up. That doesn't mean you don't exercise and do other things, but you really just need to heal up both mentally and physically, calmly set goals and think about what you might want to accomplish next year, and then really just take the intensity off. But I think what I find is I take my athletes, both runners, cyclists, all endurance sports, take them into the gym, and we start now working on core, doing a lot of core training. Doing a lot of other postural recorrection. As you know, in bike riding, is posturally not very sound, and you can get into a lot of problems. So we build a lot of muscles that work and restore body integrity, body position. As I said, core training, which is where a lot of your power foundation comes from in cycling. And that tends to help out quite a bit
right.
as well.
Yeah, I go to the gym and I just do leg work only, and that kind of helps with the sprint.
It does. Certainly would help with the sprint a lot. But we'd never neglect the core, because the more you do with core, both lower back and front and all those kind of things, that becomes the foundation you're actually pushing off
right.
from.
Right.
That's a real important area as well, so upper shoulders and what have you. But anyway, so I think getting in the gym is a good thing to give yourself a little more rebuilding phase, build back up where you've been torn down over the season. And there's other sports. We talk about running. Running is good if done in the correct way. We do biomechanical training at Endurance Coaching with runners to make sure their foot strikes are correct.
I'm kind of a big fan of, and I'm biased because I actually promote these races, I promote the off-season cyclocross with the Urban Cyclocross at Back on Track Productions. What do you think of cyclocross?
Cyclocross is great. And once again, it takes you out of that. You're off the bike, you're on the bike, you're off the bike. So you really get a lot of agility.
Right.
Agility training, a lot of body balance is coming from this kind of activity. It's done with a fair amount of intensity. There's no question about that. But at the same time, yeah, you're getting kind of more on your own now. You're getting out of the pack. You're getting out of the peloton. You're running. You're kind of becoming like a triathlete all in one. I mean, you're using muscles in many different directions, and you're supporting body weight now, whereas on the bike, you weren't. So now those little proprioceptions and all those little tendons and ligaments that are involved in supporting your body in gravity kinds of sports are now kicking in. And those will tighten up, because actually cycling will put those to sleep. by himself. So you really just soften them up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's true. I know on these, some of these long, long rides, you can sit on that bike for hours and hours and hours. It's one of the beauties of cycling is it really works your cardio. You can keep it up at a fairly high intensity for a long time because it's low impact, which
right.
really, really taxes your cardio.
I mean, exactly.
The pro level Tour de France, you know, your stage is, you know, 5 hour long stage. You're competing at the level. There's no timeouts or second inning or overtime or any of that stuff.
Exactly.
We're,
right.
It's a very difficult sport. So.
If I can have one more thing to that, Brad,
yeah.
what you're talking about, I know that, just to use myself as an example, I went and had an x-ray taken at a chiropractor's office of my neck when I was intensely in training. We were just doing some things with some neck problems I was having, whatever. And he said, "What has happened to your neck?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's clear. It's absolutely clear." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's just clear. It's not, there's no calcium there." And I said, "Well, I don't understand that." And he says, "You basically are training so hard that you're drawing all the calcium out of your bones because you have maybe a deficiency.
Ooh.
You're drawing the calcium out of your bones to supplement the flexion of the muscles. So
is that right?
You're going to
wow.
have to get your calcium supply way up. So what I'm illustrating is being in that non-weight-bearing position, which creates good bone density, like gravity hitting, running and jumping and things like that create bone density. When you're sitting on a bike hunched over like that and never using your upper body, watch your calcium intake because you can actually be robbing from Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, yeah. Calcium is used to also preventing the cramps. I know I fell off my bike once in a cross-country endurance. Was it 70 miles of off-road state championship endurance cross-country? I literally fell off my bike at the bottom of the climb about 50 miles into it, twitching in the dirt, and someone came by and handed me a Tums with calcium in it, and I was actually able to finish the race, got a silver medal after that.
And that's pretty good recovery.
Yeah, it worked. I tell you, it worked. So supplements. So.
That's great.
How? Any last things you want to add, or how do we find out more about endurance coaching? Tell us.
Go to the website, which is currently, it's in place, but we're undergoing a large construction, which will probably plug in here in the next month and a half, I think. But go to endurancecoaching.com. It shows us a bio. It shows a configuration of some of the programs we have athletes on. Keep in mind as you read that, it's highly individualized, so everything is configured around the individual. So, you know, nothing on there is boilerplate or to be taken that way. As just same design for all. But that's a good way to do it, and so I think it's the easiest way. My phone number is 714-329-7711. That reaches me almost anywhere. You can also email me at ken@endurancecoaching.com, and that can be reached through the website as well as just, you know, through your browser. So
all right.
Either way you'd like to do this is fine. So
endurancecoaching.com. Check that out, endurancecoaching.com. Ken, anything you want to add last minute? Anything else you want to add?
Again, I don't have anything to add. I think at this point, I think easy does it is the word. Be patient. Be patient. Persist in your goals. Don't be too aggressive up front, and it's amazing what will come to you. Okay?
All right. Big thanks to Ken Snowden, endurancecoaching.com. Thanks for coming in, Ken.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
All right. Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to ride bikes and race bikes. In a couple more minutes here, we had a chance to chat with the promoter of the Masters State Road Race, Sam Ames.
Bike Sport Radio, we're here with the Masters State Road Race Championships. And we just finished up posting the Masters 45, and I'm here with one of the promoters, Sam Ames. How you doing, Sam?
Doing good, doing good. Great day at the races.
Yeah, how'd the race go? How'd the turnout? Turnout was good. Weather?
Yeah, weather's good. It wasn't 105, so a little wet, a little stormy, and a little windy, but it went real well. I think it went off without too many hitches.
Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic day out there. Just a little windy, but perfect weather, really.
For Bakersfield, you couldn't beat it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good course, too. Course
very
was well
course.
Marked.
So. Yeah, a lot of good compliments on the course, you know, 32-mile loop, so it makes it nice and challenging with the climb. So, yeah, great day at the races.
Yeah. All right. Good job putting on the race. Bike Sport Radio, Brad House. Thanks, Sam.
All right. So as we wind down our show, we always like to do a little tip for cyclists on riding and how they ride their bikes and mixing with traffic out there. Always important. So you drive your bike. I tell people to drive their bikes just like they would drive their car. Yeah, it's the same thing when you're on the roads. Drive your bike like you drive your car. Left turns. That was something specific I wanted to cover. Left turns. Merge early, riders. Merge early. Don't be afraid to merge early if you're making a left turn or if you don't want to make a left turn like a car. use that two-point left turn where you go across the intersection, wait for the light to change, and then take off. So just to quote John Forrester again, cyclists fare best when they act like and are treated like drivers of motor vehicles. I'm Brad House with Bike Sport Radio. Drive your bike, and we'll see you next time.